Good morning and welcome to ASI Radio's Tuesday morning show, where ASI's most opinionated editors talk promo products and more. I am steering the ship today. I'm Joe Haley, managing editor here at ASI. Melinda and Andy are on their way to the Folio Awards in New York City, where ASI publications are up for how many awards, Kathy?
I don't know, because Advantages isn't up for any.
Thanks for being being a team player. Well, you hear her
much?
You hear her in the studio. That is the editor of Advantages.
The voice of bitterness.
The editor of Advantages magazine, Kathy Houston. Kathy, how many trick-or-treaters did you have last night?
Tons.
Yeah. And what was your favorite costume?
Baby monkeys.
You also said that Barack Obama stopped by.
Barack Obama himself was at my house.
Looking for a handout. Okay. Also in the studio with us is the editor of Supplier Global Resource. That is Michelle Bell.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to announce a special award today.
Okay. Did you give out candy last night?
I gave out snark.
You gave out snark.
Big, heaping handfuls.
So every day is the Halloween for you. I almost said the 4th of July Halloween for show. Also joining us in the studio today from our marketing department, marketer extraordinaire, Colin Graff. Colin, how are you today?
Good morning, everyone. I'm doing well.
And you took your son out trick-or-treating, or did you stay home and give out the candy?
He's a bit young, so we went out a bit early. Our neighbors were a little surprised to see us about 5 p.m.
Ooh.
And Colin, didn't you say your son is a biter?
Yes.
And what
is.
Was he dressed as?
He was dressed as a shark, but the costume was bought well before we started having the issues.
Sure. All right. As usual, manning the tech board today with all the fancy sound effects is the one and only Craig Veltri.
Nothing fancy.
All right, and taking your phone calls today at 215-953-4979, we're going to be talking about tips for helping you plan your client's trade show promotions is the one and only Facebook Vinny Driscoll. So when you call in to 215-953-4979, you'll hear his lovely voice. But before we start anything, let's get a rundown of today's show from Kathy.
All right, Joe. Like you said, well, like Michelle said, she's going to be interviewing this year's Supplier Sales Rep of the Year, which she has kept super top secret under wraps. We're going to be taking your calls for tips for planning your client's trade show promos. When consumers tweet complaints, should companies respond?
Colin?
Don't tell us yet. And also, I'll have the worst stereotypes about powerful women and how to avoid them. And plus, let's see, Colin is also going to talk about 6 brands that came back from the dead and what you can learn from them. But first, we're going to have the news with Michelle.
We begin this morning with product safety news. The Consumer Product Safety Commission announced last week that it has formally voted to enforce the full provisions of the CPSIA law. After 3 years of debate, the CPSIA will now force manufacturers, importers, and private labelers to test children's products for specific compliance with safety standards. On to top 40 financial news. 4 Imprint Group said it increased its revenues by 12% in the third quarter and by 10% in the first 9 months of 2011. Also, the company's North American division is up 18% through the first 3 quarters of the year. General economic news now. Some good news for the holidays, as a new report forecasts holiday sales to grow by 6.5% this year. The result would be the fastest growing holiday season since 2004. In marketing news, mobile marketing is on the rise according to a new study. Consulting firm eMarketer said it expects U.S. mobile ad spending to surpass $1 billion this year and grow another 47% in 2012. And finally, make sure to check out the latest episode of The Joe Show and Promogram today. Joe, what's hot for today?
Hey, you know, we have desk accessories, including a pen and holder set that's made out of petrified wood, so that's pretty cool.
Mm.
You know what petrified wood looks like?
Mm-mm.
It looks like a rock, but it's not. It's wood. That's petrified. we got some great
That's
things.
That's very right. Intriguing.
So before we get to your calls, remember, you still have time to call in at 215-953-4979 to ask us for some ideas to help you plan your client's trade show promos, because starting with beginning of the year, January is going to be trade show season, and everywhere, it's not just the promotional products industry. But before we get to that, we're going to need a little drum roll here, because Michelle Bell, the editor of Supplier Global Resource, who is tweeting like a fiend over there, has got a big announcement to make.
I do. Well, every year we do a contest in which distributors vote on the supplier sales rep of the year. And the qualifications are really reps who go over and above for their clients, reps who go, you know, whose creativity is way outside the box, who, you know, help on their weekends and vacations and really kind of step it up a notch. We received hundreds of nominations from distributors. And the person who is on the line with us now live.
Line two.
Received the most votes hands down, and rightly so. So this year's SGR Supplier Sales Rep of the Year is PolyConcept North America's field sales manager, Rick French.
Yay!
Hey, Rick.
Thank you.
How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, I just have a couple questions for you as this year's SGR Supplier Sales Rep of the Year. Your sales have been up double digits this year as compared to last year. So can you kind of share with our audience, in this economy, how did you manage that?
Yeah. You know, it really got down to the beginning of the year, Michelle. I sat down with some folks at PCNA and some folks on my team, and we decided what success was going to look like at the end of the year. And then between myself and the management team and all the people that work together, we put the steps in place that were going to get us there. We knew what it was going to look like in January, and we made it happen throughout the year. I think the biggest part of that, though, was persistence and really sticking to the plan.
That's great. Can you share with us three pieces of advice on working with clients? How, you know, if you could impart some advice to people listening on how to really kind of service your clients at an extraordinary level, what would you say?
Yeah, you know, I think the one thing that you can do to, and it makes everything else fall in place, is just position yourself as a business partner. If you go into these relationships understanding what your customers' needs are, and then understanding what your responsibility is and how you contribute to meeting their needs, everything else seems to fall in place.
That's great. I'm sure not that many people, or maybe they do know this about you, that you were once Prince Charming at Disneyland. You played Prince Charming. And I know your clients think that you are quite the hero. There's going to be a lot more about you today in Promogram and in the upcoming issues of Advantages and SGR. But could you, if there was a piece of advice you could give to other salespeople in the industry who want to be as effective and successful as you have clearly been, what would it be?
Yeah, I have two things in particular. The first is, learn to distinguish noise from opportunity quickly. There's a lot going on out there, and we just can't get to everything. So identify the things that are going to help you and help your company and help your customers get where they need to be, and filter out the rest. And the second part is maybe a little bit trite, but you know what? Have fun. You're the face of the company, and your customers will know if you're not enjoying what you're doing. It's reflected throughout your team and throughout the organization. So enjoy what you're doing and go succeed.
That's great. And congratulations, Rick, on being this year's Supplier Sales Rep of the Year as voted on by distributors. We're really happy for you.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Rick.
And have a good day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Now, that issue comes out when, Michelle?
It is the cover story of the upcoming November-December issue of SGR, which will be out next week, and it will be in Kathy's January issue of Advantage.
Yeah.
However, you'll be able to read the article today in Promogram.
Very good. Thank you very much, and congratulations to Rick. We're going to get to our phone line now. We are taking your calls. You still have time to call in on planning for your client's trade show promotions. Vinny, let's go to line one where Valerie's waiting to talk to us. Hi, Valerie.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Good.
You have a question for us?
I do. It's about trade shows.
Oh, very good. You're on topic.
Yes. I actually have two clients, and they're each exhibiting at the same trade show in January. I was wondering if you have any ideas on what sorts of promo items I can suggest to each of them to drive quality traffic to their booth.
One of the things I would do is, excuse me, meet with them first, find out what their objectives are with the trade show. Do they want to give out a mass giveaway that, excuse me, is going to be inexpensive for them so they can give to as many people as possible? Or do they really want to try and go in there and qualify good prospects? Therefore, they might want to be a little more, you know, particular with who they give products to. Therefore, they might want to spend a little more money. So find that out first. So you might have two different objectives by those clients, and then you're going to work with them there. Always consider going and getting a pre-attendance list from the organizer, and you can send out mailers to them to stop by the booth and kind of pre-qualify them prior to them coming.
Okay.
Colin, on the marketing end, what do you
think? I think it's really important to highlight what's unique about each one of those companies. Mm-hmm.
and what differentiates them from the pack, and focus on that, and you can probably find a really great themed item that really focuses on their brand. And you also want to know what their goals are. Do they have a new initiative about it with a new product? If you may not be able to theme the product around the company, you can theme the product around their product that they're highlighting at that particular trade show.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Well, you're welcome, Valerie. Stay on your line, and Vinny's going to get your information and send you out a Visa gift card.
Okay, great.
Vinny, let's go to line number 3 where June's waiting for us. Good morning, June. How are you?
Good morning. I'm having a great day. How about you?
We're having a terrific day, the day after Halloween. We're all on a little bit of a sugar high here, but you have a question for us?
I do. I'm helping a client get ready for a trade show where he really has to stand out from the crowd. Do you have any ideas to help him stand out from the crowd?
Monkeys. Animals always work in booths. I swear to you.
That's
puppies.
True.
There was a booth in our industry that every year would bring a puppy with it.
It was a little Jack Russell Terrier, and he kept him in a little carrier. And all of a sudden, you see the little head pop out, and the dog would pop out occasionally. And get back in. He was well behaved. in this industry, we don't see as much as we used to, but people used to have those booths, you know, traffic stoppers, like something that's going to go on some type of event. You know, have an hourly drawing for a product. Do a demonstration in the booth. I mean, once you start to draw attention that way by having these like traffic stoppers, you know, people are just like on the side of a road when there's a car accident. And I'm not saying that you're going to have something that's, you know, the same as a car accident, but the thing is, like, it's that gaper delay. People stop and they want to know what's going on over here. So the same thing is going to happen at a trade show. Think of something along that what line that's going to draw people's attention.
Yeah, last year one of the suppliers, I forget who it was, had a spinning wheel, and they had a lot of traffic because people could win a prize.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of sending a mailer out ahead of time and saying, you know, come to our booth and we'll give you this.
Mm-hmm.
And at least that brings people in. The downside is, not the downside, but you have to do a little pre-planning to you're targeting the right people. So you're not just kind of sending it out en masse to everybody.
Correct. Like you said, Kathy, the games, I've seen a lot of putting greens.
Mm-hmm.
That's always effective. It usually creates a line and gets people engaged. And while they're waiting for their turn, you can engage those people.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I've seen, which it's all depending on budget, I've gone to trade shows where they've actually had a semi-celebrity in the booth stop by and take pictures.
Like Joe Haley?
Stopping by. Very similar to Joe Haley. The one I went to was Jim Palmer, the pitcher for the Baltimore Orioles.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
That was pretty cool. There was a huge line waiting, and there were people to engage those people while they were waiting to get a picture with them.
Mm-hmm.
With them.
Food.
I was just gonna say food and bottled water. You know, people like that, they're gonna stop by. But you also have to help your client too and let them know that they just can't stand there and watch people come up and take the imprinted products, mm-hmm. take the bottled water.
Mm-hmm.
They need to engage them. They need to get them into the booth to be able to talk about their products and their services or whatever that they're exhibiting.
And if you are doing a game type thing like Colin and I mentioned, you can the prize could be like a coupon for free services from the company, so you're further promoting their brand.
You know, June, and the other thing you want to do is make sure that you also impart to your client the importance of following up after the trade show. Michelle's talked about this quite often on the show and the magazine as well, that so many suppliers are getting leads at trade shows, but they're not following up in a timely manner, and they're letting those things sit there. They need to follow up. So you need to give them a whole plan of action here from the pre-show advertising and marketing of their, you know, being an exhibit there, to the post show, the follow up.
Mm-hmm.
You need to make sure that they're engaged from start to finish and not just going at this haphazard.
Yeah, you're right, Joe. That's a huge misstep. You spend all this time and planning and money into getting ready for the show and at the show to then let it fall to the wayside afterwards by not following up.
Well, June, hopefully we gave you some good ideas there. You got a dollar's worth for a dime. So stay on the line. Vinny's going to get your
and a gift card.
Your gift, you know, information for your Visa gift card. Vin, let's go to line number 4 where we've heard one of our favorite callers call in many times. It's Stanley. Stanley, how are you?
Stanley.
Good. How are you guys?
We're terrific. What can we help you with today?
Well, you know, trade shows are somewhat of a nightmare when it comes to people that wait to the last minute. You know, when you have the opportunity to work with them from the beginning and they see the value and you get to do all the things you just suggested, which are some of the best suggestions that I've heard, the question comes down to, they all say we want to give away. So I always go with a two-tier, you know, like there's the item that everybody's going to want to come and grab because they don't spend much time. And then there's the item that we suggest that if you have a 5-minute conversation, they get the nicer item with your name on it. And absolutely, you know, follow-up is key. But is there anything from, like, the Counselor magazine where they've, you know, written articles or an article about the top 100 giveaways, most effective giveaways at trade shows?
No, that's a good idea, though. Thanks for the idea, Stanley.
No, I don't know of any articles that deal with that, but I like the idea, too. But, you know, Stanley makes a good point earlier in his call. He said that, you know, a lot of people do their things, their trade show promotions last minute. So it's important for distributors to talk to their clients about what their marketing is going to be for the entire year. And they might not be considering that they actually go to a trade show and they're exhibiting their products and services as part of their marketing plan. So, you know, talk to your clients, find out what they have coming up for the entire year, and you won't get in that last-minute situation. Stanley, stay on the line. Talk to Vinny. But, Vin, let's go over to line two where Bob's on the line. Morning, Bob.
Good morning, folks. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good morning.
What do you got for us?
Wait, first, Bob, what did you dress up for as Halloween? I mean, for Halloween.
It was really deep. It was a Green Bay Packer mask.
That is deep.
Did I say Badgers or Brewers?
All right, Bob, what do you got for us today?
Well, what I'm running into is people don't know why they're doing trade shows. They don't have the goal set. So I agree completely with what you said just a few moments ago. And the other thing is when I've worked trade shows, people are in booths and they don't engage the passerby. And it's like, what the heck are you there for?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the thing that really bugs me is I know of a company. They're very highly respected. They do custom homes, very high-end product. And they give away the cheapest pen in the world. And I just stopped by their booth the last time at a home show, and I said, how are these pens working out for you? And the boss's wife says, you know, the blankety-blank things fall apart before we give them to people. And, you know, so I really think that people need a little professional consulting on,
sure,
on going into these shows. It's like, do you realize how much this is costing you? And if you put the boss in the booth, or you put a consultant or, geez, an architect maybe, just think of their billable hours. And so there's a heck of an investment, but they all have, like you said, they have to plan ahead and, you know, get their ducks in a row. Why are we here and what are we trying to do?
You know, I think today's smart distributors going out there, again, working with their client and maybe going and sitting in a booth with them or sitting in the booth with them, helping them along the way. Look, I can be more of a marketing arm for you than just someone who provides you with the cheapest pens possible that are going to fall, you know, apart as soon as you give them away. So, you know, maybe there's an opportunity there also for you, Bob. Find out all your clients who are doing trade shows and have a little seminar for them. Talk about the, you know, reasons they should give products out, what type of products they should give out. You know, when they should start thinking about the marketing, how they should do it on the front end, the back end, and all
that.
Okay, I'll be looking for your article on the top 10 items, or top 100 items.
Top 100.
Okay, Kathy's going to write that.
I'm going to write that. You know what? You know what would work good for an architect or a custom home builder, Joe?
What's that?
The petrified wood desk set on the Joe Show today.
Absolutely, Kathy. There you go. Watch today's Joe Show. Actually, we had a special construction market Joe Show on October 20th. You can still find it on YouTube.com/A/Central. Bob's down the line. Vinny will get your information. Vin, let's go to line one where Nicole is waiting to talk to us. Hi, Nicole. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
We're terrific. What can we help you with?
Well, I was calling because I'm kind of new to the business, and I wanted to know, with all these trade shows that I'm going to and I'm learning more about it, what are some of the best and worst things that you've seen that, you know, you would not recommend to your client or that you would recommend to your client to say it's the most effective kind of way to get your name out there?
We'll start with our marketing guru, Colin.
Well, I know it's been mentioned a couple times today, but not engaging with customers. It's horrible. I've walked by booths where people are sitting in the back of the booth eating a sandwich and letting people walk by
on their BlackBerry,
grab their promotional items and just leave and not engaging with them and really trying to promote your company.
One of the other thing I think it's important for suppliers to do, or anyone's exhibit, to also engage with the people next to you. Find out what they're doing, what their marketing plans are for the year, how their business is going for the year, you know, what they see coming ahead. I mean, you get a lot of good information from your competitors, and you can be friendly competitors just because they're exhibiting doesn't mean that they're the enemy. So I would say engage with those people around you as
you're
well.
You're right, Joe, and a lot of times those trade shows, you're not next to your competitors. You actually could be next to potential customers.
Right.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So that's a perfect opportunity to engage your neighbors. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, as for like a general like trade show giveaway, I think one of the best things are totes. you know, yeah. because, you know, people are going to walk on the trade show floor. They're picking up samples, whatever the industry is. Everyone gives out little products. There's catalogs. There's brochures. You need to carry them in something. So if you have a tote, if you can give away a tote that's got your name on the side, it's walk-in billboard in that hall. If it's a decent tote, a canvas tote, a non-woven tote that can be reused, you get that increased exposure there as well. But I think that for a trade show, totes are important. Notepads are important. Pens are important. Yeah. You know, everyone needs those things.
I also think you should give away something that will sit on someone's desk, not something that will sit in a drawer or get given to their kid or whatever. You want something that will sit on their desk that they'll see constantly, whether that's a small clock, alarm clock, or a business card holder or something along
Travel
those lines.
Travel mug.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, great. That sounds like awesome ideas.
Well, Nicole, hopefully we helped you. Good luck with your clients, helping with their trade shows, and good luck with the trade shows you go to next year. Stay on the line. Vinny will get your information. Right now, we are going to take a break and hear from today's message from today's Joe Shows. Let's start that all over. From today's ASI Radio sponsor, I Promote You.
This portion of ASI Radio is sponsored by I Promote You. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with I Promote You today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. I Promote You, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-857-3370 or email opportunities@ipromoteyou.com.
And we are back. I apologize for that faux pas there. This is actually ASI Radio Show. We are not doing the Joe Show here on the air, but you can watch that later on today coming out in Promogram. You know,
shameless plugger.
It's
like the third one.
You know, what I think, back to one last thought about trade shows, is that, you know, trade shows can be a very important part of anyone's marketing plan, because you get the opportunity to be in front of so many different people. And if you squander it just by buying a booth and standing there, it's a waste of time. So,
what was that?
I don't know. It sounds like something's like a cart's coming down the hallway. So, you know, work with your clients. You know, tell them how important that is. And I think that, you know, their success will also help you be successful as well. So before we do anything else, we are going to go to Colin. And Colin's going to talk about, if consumers tweet complaints about a company, should that company reply?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
really? They shouldn't just ignore it? No?
No.
I'm asking honestly.
I would totally reply.
I think there. You also have to differentiate between complaints and just basic hate mail. There's a huge difference there. If it's basic hate mail, you take in that feedback about the particular problem that person has with your company, and you work on branding your company. That's more of a branding issue. But as far as complaints go, it's very important to respond to customers. It's important to maintain your reputation and sustain customer relationships. And listening and engaging through digital media can help the customer's perception of your brand. There was a recent study done by a company called Maratz Research. And according to their study, about half of complaint tweeters expect a response, and only a third of those actually get the response. And of those third that get the response, 75% were satisfied with
Wow.
the response of the company. So it's really important. You know, the best customer is a current one. So it's very important to stay engaged with your current customers and make sure they're happy.
Now, Colin, if I complain about you in a public forum, do you respond in the public forum, or do you go one-on-one with that client?
You, Joe, I wouldn't respond at all.
But, okay.
If a customer complained about an ASI product, not that that would ever happen, but it's important to respond in a public forum, because they
complained in a public forum.
Okay.
So your response doesn't have to be directly personal to them, but you should reflect how you have worked to correct that issue and the steps you've taken to make that customer happy. And since that's in a public forum, others will see that and how you've responded to that customer and think more highly of yours.
Any thoughts then if that starts to just a snowball rolling where people start jumping on and everyone starts adding in their, you know, thoughts and their opinions? Well, you know, is there a point where you just say, okay, we've done our due diligence here, is eventually going to run its course?
If you're a good, respectable company, that won't snowball. But if it does, you have a bigger problem than that within the company. And you should not only take steps to respond to those customers, but you should also take steps to rebrand your company, and that includes internal work with your services department.
All right. Well, thank you, Colin. All right. The worst stereotypes about powerful women and how to avoid them. We're going to go to probably the most powerful person here in – oh, wait a minute. No, Melinda's not here. All right, Kathy, you take this one.
Yeah, I have no power, but here are the stereotypes. First of all, people tend to think powerful women are ice queens. And this comes a lot from the cultural depictions of them, like the frigid magazine editor Miranda Priestly in The Devil Wears Prada, and her real-world counterpart Anna Wintour of Vogue. And there's the backstabbing boss Patty Hughes on Damages. So these people are painting successful women as unsympathetic power mongers. And of course, it's a catch-22 because a woman who shows emotion in the workplace is often cast as too fragile or unstable to lead. So, you know, where do you get the happy medium, Joe?
Well, I'm going to ask you, where do we get it, Kath? Where do we get that happy
medium?
I don't know.
We still have to figure it out. The next stereotype is single and lonely. The strong perception that powerful women are intimidating to men and will need to sacrifice their personal lives may stop women from going after power. Even those women who aren't interested in marrying face harsh judgments. Men get to be bachelors, but women are reduced to spinsters and old maids, which is terrible. The third one is conniving. When NBC's Ann Curry first started her career, she was told she couldn't be a news reporter because women had no news judgment. Now, of course, she's at the top of her game as a co-anchor of the Today Show, and the stereotype that most offends her is the idea that a woman can only be successful because she somehow connived or engineered her rise. Like, people think that she had some sort of backroom deal with NBC where she forced them to give her that position, but that wasn't the case. And the other stereotype, which annoys everyone, is that powerful women are cheerleaders, that they're just powerful because they're there to cheer the men on in the company.
So instead of the yes man, it's the yes woman.
Exactly, okay. Exactly. For example, when former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin was running for VP, a male client of one of these women described her as a cheerleader, not a coach or a quarterback.
You know, it's interesting because there are so many women in this industry, more than any other I've encountered. This industry is very strong with mentoring other women.
Right.
When I first started in the industry almost 15 years ago, Joanne Lance from Geiger was the incoming chairman of PPAA's board and nice enough to kind of guide me through the intricacies of the industry. So that's one good thing about this industry is that it's very strong with mentoring women.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I agree. You know, women got a tough job out there. I mean, look at the politicians. Any strong woman who's got political aspirations, Hillary Clinton, when she ran for president, how does she come off? And Michelle Bachmann and Sarah Palin, regardless of what you think of those people, I mean, they all somehow are going to fall into someone's stereotype.
They're all held
right
to
there.
A different standard than the men.
Right. Which is unfair. Well, Kathy, thank you for your report.
We hate you, men.
And we will post this on ASIcentral.com/radio. Vinny, we have someone waiting for us on line one, please. Good morning, Heidi. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. I love your guys' show. Very
thank
informative.
You. Thank
what do you think about the men?
I love the men.
Thank you, Heidi.
So just a quick question.
TV.
I know you guys are wrapping up, but I'm headed to my first trade show, and I just wanted to get a few tips on what I should do there. I want to benefit, you know, to most benefit my clients. A few tips for a newbie.
Are you exhibiting or attending?
Attending.
And is this an industry show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, what I would do is if you had a chance already to speak with your clients, hopefully they gave you a little bit of a shopping list or some ideas of things they might be looking for, end-of-the-year promotions, holiday promotions, maybe beginning-of-the-year promotions, so you can go in and kind of narrow down those people you want to speak with. Also, if you get the opportunity, see who's exhibiting there and make your list of who's most important you want to see first and go down that list. And make sure you find your top 10 and you talk to them. Just don't go, don't get a catalog, don't get swiped, you know. Engage the people who are there exhibiting as well. Talk to them, see what they're offering. Ask about new products for 2012, when they're going to start, you know, showing them. So, I mean, you need to be engaged and you need to go into this with a plan.
And I would say to ask them for specific success stories of markets that certain products have worked in and how they would work well for your clients. And also, I would say if the show is offering any kind of education, take advantage of it.
Yep. Right, and definitely.
And if it is an ASI show, ASI does something really terrific called the Supplier Secrets,
mm-hmm.
Which distributors can go in and allow suppliers to present their newest items to right. you in a friendly, more educational environment
mm-hmm.
Than just stopping by their booth when they have hundreds of people coming up to them.
And also take part in any networking events,
just
too.
Say that.
Because that, then you get to know both your peers and the suppliers on a more personal basis.
Well, Heidi, hopefully we gave you some good
awesome.
Information. Have fun at the trade show.
Thank you.
And stay on the line. Vinny's going to get your information. Before we leave the airway, we're going to do Michelle's favorite segment, our favorite products. And we are going to start off with Michelle. Michelle, what's your favorite product today?
Well, first of all our products are going to be on asicentral.com/radio. Mine is from IMC, and it is from their MoMA line, which is the Museum of Modern Art. It's their sky umbrella. So it's black on the outside, but if you look at the inside, it's, you know, a nice, serene, ethereal scene of white clouds and blue skies. So that is from IMC, and they are ASI 62820.
They have the coolest products.
They do.
I love their products.
Kathy, what do you have? What do you love? What do you tell
us? Well,
you
know I'm loco for cocoa, Joe. I love everything chocolate. And I found a chocolate notebook that looks like chocolate and smells like chocolate. You just can't eat it. But it's pretty cool, and it would work well in homes, offices, classrooms, and dorms. And it's from Fast Idea Promotion, Inc., ASI 53749. And you could click on the website on our website.
For anyone who loves chocolate.
Chocolate.
All right, Colin, what do you got for us?
I have not an actual product, but just paper from Blooming Promotions.
Sounds like a product to me.
Yeah. Well, you know. And they offer a wide variety of seeded paper. And I really love this
That's
stuff.
That's pretty cool.
I used seeded paper for a promotion not too long ago. And I found this stuff. I was sent this sample pack earlier this week, and its stuff is terrific.
So you just plant that, what you have in your hand there?
Yeah.
Can you hold that up, Colin, for the camera? So you just put it in the ground, huh?
Yep, and it grows.
That's great.
Like wildflowers?
Could be.
And in September, you pick
I'm
the
really hoping this one is not basil, because that would be very uninteresting.
Oh, you don't like basil?
I love basil, though? But it's not very pretty.
Okay.
What's the ASI number, Colin?
The ASI number is 40646.
Thank you.
All right. And now my product, I have a Moleskine journal. It's a small journal. What I love about this is that every place that can be customized on this, you can get a little embossed logo on the front cover. This in the magazine business, we call this a belly band. You can actually get that customized as well. You can get a custom insert inside, and they can also customize some of the pages here. Great for off-site meetings and events, sales, brainstorming sessions, whatever people need to take notes. It's got a little elastic band, so it stays nice and closed. Fits in the breast pocket of a jacket, pants pocket, briefcase, anything.
Purse,
wherever you want to put it. This is from Moleskine America, Inc. I don't have their ASI number at the top of my head, but it is online at asicentral.com/radio. All right. We are out of time.
Thank God.
We would like to thank our sponsor, iPromoteYou. Thank Colin for being in the studio with us. We'll be here next week, where we are going to have a special call-in interview with someone who's going to be presenting at ASI shows in the 2012. So stay tuned to find out who that is. Thank you.